Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So before we dive in on nerve blocks, I want to talk feet. I love feet. I love barefoot movement, the way that it normalizes our movement patterns, the way that we can connect better into the ground and feel what's going on underneath our body. It helps us really hone in on how our body naturally wants to move. Vivo barefoot shoes are what Jen and I wear for everything, and they have some incredible options, especially for summer. They have these new Bloom shoes that use algae blooms. They actually clean bad, harmful algae out of the water and use it in the material for these shoes. So as you're making your movement better, as you're connecting more with the ground and more with your feet, you're also helping the environment by taking some of these harmful algae blooms out of the environment. Go check out the link in the show notes and make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout to get 15% off. Again, Jen and I use these shoes for everything. You know how obsessed we are with connecting more with our feet. Just wearing Vivo barefoot shoes 70% of the time for 6 months helps you increase your foot strength. And that can be so important as we get later in life, being able to have our balance, have our ability to sit and stand and feel the ground beneath us. So check out Vivo Barefoot. They're doing so many amazing things on their new platform, Vivo Health, to help you assess your feet, help you learn more about your feet through the Barefoot Fundamentals course. If you get one of their pairs of Primus Lights, I know you get their Barefoot Fundamentals course for free. So check out that link in the show notes. Make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout. Get 15% off, and you have a 100-day risk-free trial. If you're not completely convinced, you can send them on back. Vivo Barefoot, that's where it's at. Check them out. And now let's head into the PT Pearl.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast.
All right, heading into a little pearl on nerve blocks, and this is something we get asked all the time, like, should I get a nerve block? I'm getting recommended a nerve block. What even is a nerve block? There's so many different types, so many different medications that you can get within a nerve block. Let's dive into it.
So essentially, think of it like a local anesthetic with a corticosteroid kind of mixed into a certain targeted area of either an area of nerves or just a nerve, you know, to really help to disperse and decrease the pain for a period of time.
And these things, they do a whole bunch of different things within our physiology, depending on the medication, because you can have things that are like a complete nerve block that is just blocking any sort of sensation. You can also have medications that will just target the sympathetic nervous system. You can have medications that it's not going to be a complete numbing, but it just really reduces the local sensation in the area. So there's a wide spectrum of what you might get if you're getting a nerve block, depending on the need or depending on what's going on.
Right. And one of the most common ones, and probably the one that people are asking about when they ask about them, it's the non-surgical type of nerve block. And this is like your peripheral nerve block. And it can last about 12 to 16 hours of really creating that numbness and not having that pain within that targeted nerve area.
Have you ever had a nerve block? No?
No.
No, I don't think I have either. I've gone under general anesthesia for most of the surgeries that I've had, but again, that's a point why somebody might get a nerve block, because they don't want to go under this general anesthesia or this systemic medication that's going to impact all of our systems, our whole physiology. If you're having a surgery on your foot, you can just have a general nerve block at the hip that takes away all that sensation, and it prevents you from needing to go under this general anesthesia that's going to probably have more, or it does come with more potential risks.
Right. So the good thing about a nerve block is that it doesn't have as many side effects. And that's why it has been something that is, you know, in appropriate doses and when people are really needing it, which we're going to talk about, when is it like most commonly used, you know, then it is kind of one of the better options.
And it doesn't only include like medicine or pharmaceutical options. Like, you can also actually have procedures like a neurectomy or a rhizotomy where you're actually Neurectomy, meaning cutting part of the nerve. So that's generally done on peripheral nerves where they might cut a portion of a nerve that's really overactive or causing a lot of spasms.
They're completely destroying the nerve.
Yeah, so they're completely cutting
off. And that's the surgical one.
All communication. Or a rhizotomy, which you might hear talked about when people are having really bad sciatic symptoms or really, really bad low back symptoms. Sometimes they'll go in and try to do a rhizotomy, which rise meaning root. So they're actually cutting or burning root, cutting or burning little portions of that nerve root.
Came in a sudden.
Make fun of how I say root. So they're burning little portions of that nerve root right where it comes out of the back or the neck.
And those are like, obviously, then we're getting more into the extreme cases of things, right? Yeah. Where it's, you've exhausted your options. And that's usually when you go into more of the surgical type of nerve blocks and having these nerves actually destroyed is you've tried all the other methods. You've tried conservative treatment. You've done the physical therapy and the chiropractic care and all of this stuff. And no relief to the point of limiting your activities on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Another really, really common one that most people have probably heard of is an epidural, which is commonly talked about when we talk about pregnancy. That one is put right into the spinal canal. Mm-hmm. So it's just injected right into your cerebral spinal fluid. And that completely blocks sensation. But if you've ever talked to people who, because you're awake while that's going on. And so if you ever have ever talked to people who have had that, you can still feel different pressures and moving sometimes. So it
depends on the level of the epidural. There's different levels of the epidural.
Absolutely. But so some might completely block all sensation, but I've heard of other people saying like, I could feel different pressures and stuff.
Yeah.
And again, that might be coming from a place that is kind of above where the epidural was administered. So that's another super common one.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're getting into the non-surgical types, right? So we have the epidural type. We also have the spinal one. And we also have the peripheral nerve. So those are the other ones that are going to be outside of the surgical type where you're awake and you're just hitting on a specific area where the spinal one, you're really getting into more of like the fluids that are surrounding the spinal cord.
Yeah. And there are different things that, of course, this might be good for or not good for. It's not great for things like bleeding or pre-existing sensory or motor disorders.
Any nerve block.
Yeah, or infection, which if you have an infection in an area, it's not really going to, a nerve block isn't going to really do anything for that.
Well, it's just not advised. If you have an infection where you would potentially get the nerve block, right? Not advised. So those are things to really look out for, but that's kind of on the extreme case where in general, there's not, again, that many adverse side effects that are happening with this. However, it's also not something that's lasting forever. And I think that's something that's really important to go over and note as well, because just because you get something done doesn't mean that your pain is now gone.
Yeah.
And that's the expectation that we have to set up when we're going into something. And especially if you've had this done and you haven't really had much help with it, well then chances are it's probably not going to help to continue to do it.
Yeah. And I think when they talk about not having many risks or adverse side effects, we're talking about in the immediate. So, so nerve block's going to wear off and you're not going to have a ton of adverse side effects. But when we think about what that's doing, so say we get a nerve block in the arm, like it's just blunting or stopping the communication of what the brain is telling that arm, right? So if you're in extreme pain and you have this nerve block, it's going to stop the messaging or the signaling from the brain to the arm. So what's that doing in that amount of time? How does the brain respond or react to that? They're saying like, hey, I'm not getting any feedback from the arm. Like, what do I do? Does the brain start to increase its signaling to try and get messages through? Does it decrease the signaling? And everyone's brain responds a little different to these types of things. So especially in extreme cases, if you're having, you know, persisting pain or chronic pain disorders, like I've heard of people who've gotten something like a rhizotomy or gotten a nerve block in the back and it helped immensely. It gave them relief. It allowed them to get movement and start to do different core stabilization and mobility that they've been needing to do. And then I've heard the opposite, where people would get a rhizotomy or a nerve block and it might feel different in the immediate, or they might get an initial relief, but then it kind of compounds down the road. So it's really tough for us to understand how our nervous system is going to react to these things.
Right, exactly. And I think that's just like what we need to keep in mind overall when we're talking about pain, and especially, I mean, people who are typically getting nerve blocks and getting to the point where this is going to be recommended, you're in chronic pain, right? It's something that's persisted over a period of time. And now you're being recommended, okay, you tried the conservative treatment, you tried this. But really, when it comes to pain, we want to do all we can, and we've talked about this before, to reduce those signals on our own. So we're trying not, because right now our system is being overloaded, and we're getting those pain signals from the brain down into that tissue saying pain, 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 and it's not able to inhibit. And so we have to find ways that can naturally start to inhibit those signals. And yes, you know, the nerve block might do that for a temporary time, but what happens after that wears off? And then what are we telling our system? And again, we've talked about these different practices that we can do to start to inhibit those pathways, but it's really filling up our system. So are we getting enough sleep, right? Are we doing our breath practices to try to reduce those signals and get into our parasympathetic? Are we getting good nutrients and fueling our body so that it doesn't feel like it's running on nothing or on fumes, right? Mm-hmm. And when we start to really focus on that and do the movement that we can at least try to do in the moment, it's going to help to start to reduce those signals. So it's, you know, might it be helpful? Sure. But we have to remember the big picture thing of what we're trying to create on our own.
And we tend to see these recommended, well, one, when you have a nerve type disorder, like we were even on a live with our friend, Dr. Emily Splickle, who's a functional podiatrist, and for Morton's neuroma, which is a neuroma or a nerve disorder of the foot, she kind of said like, that might be one that an injection could be really helpful, depending on where you're at in that process, because it's something that can help calm that nerve down. And we know that it's going to do that in the short term. But then again, like, what are we going to do to then reduce the process or remove the process that was causing or contributing to that?
Exactly.
And especially with a lot of these nerve disorders, many people get to the point where it's a persistent or a consistent or chronic issue. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just the peripheral nerve that is the issue. Sometimes we start to develop these pain patterns in our brain where one area of the sensory cortex is communicating to the thalamus, which is communicating to our memory, you know, centers, and then it sends down more pain. And so how do we start to reprogram and rewire what's going on up in the cortex, up in the brain? That's going to take some of these things that Jen has been talking about, changing our systemic behaviors, not just changing what we're doing in the peripheral area that we have symptoms in.
Right, exactly. And I will say, like, you know, research has shown that the benefit, and what I think is a great benefit, of doing these peripheral nerve blocks or nerve blocks in general, is that you're reducing the need to rely on opioids. And we know that's an issue, especially in the US. So if we can reduce the need to rely on opioids as the solution for pain, well, then I'm for it, you know. But let's continue to see, okay, what else can I do to help my system as a whole? And movement, we're always going to be proponents of movement, because it's the thing that moves us forward. It's the thing that is going to help us through life. And so if we can continue to do our best to get a little bit more movement, a little bit more help, and don't be afraid to try a different physical therapist. We've talked about this before too. If conservative treatment didn't help, there's a reason that someone just wasn't seeing you, meeting you where you were at, or really working with you on the full journey, the full body aspect of what it entails to do physical therapy.
Yeah. And there are a lot of, I mean, we talk about some of the reasons that we need to add in other things other than just the nerve block, because that's the scope we come from, physical therapists. There's always things that are within our control that can help with whatever we're experiencing, pain-wise, nervous system-wise. But there are a lot of areas in medicine that these have been found to be very beneficial and help people get procedures that we otherwise probably couldn't, like in labor and delivery. The epidural, like we mentioned, is super popular. Other surgical-related pain. So, you know, getting in getting in for surgery, like one, we might do a nerve block in surgery, but then if you're having a lot of post-surgical pain, they might just do one after surgery to keep that pain lower. Like I've seen that a lot of times, or when people get joint replacements, they might have a nerve block that lasts for 24 to 48 hours afterwards. Cancer-related pain, so people who are having really severe cancer-related pain or arthritic pain, they can also be very beneficial for those.
Right, exactly. And then when we're we're going back to the chronic pains, right? So chronic regional pain syndrome as well. You know, that's a huge one of what people unfortunately have to deal with, or fibromyalgia. Okay, if we can start to address these pain signals and get you back into some kind of movement where we can start to naturally decrease those pain signals as well. Like, I mean, overall, we just want to keep you moving.
Yeah. And other than that, like severe facial pain, often like we've got this big nerve that innervates most of our face called the trigeminal nerve. And a lot of times people will try and get a trigeminal nerve block to be able to bring down that facial pain. Because again, a lot of these things are inflammatory disorders. These nerve blocks are going to help block or temporarily bring down some of that inflammation. But in that space that we have reduced symptoms, what can we do to then gain more slack ourselves? What can we do to introduce less inflammation into our system or reload our system, like Jen said, with the sleep, the diet, drinking, nutrition, movement, all of that kind of
stuff.
Drinking water. Gonna numb it up a little bit more. Numb this pain a little bit more. So many different things that we can do to help compound the benefits of a potential nerve block if and when somebody chooses to get one of those.
And that's really talked about with your physician and, you know.
Yes, we don't administer nerve blocks. No. We don't know a ton about nerve blocks. We do some research before doing this podcast, of course, to just understand a little bit more of when they're commonly used. Yeah. But we've seen plenty of patients who've had them.
Right, exactly. And so communicate with your physician, figure out what's best for you and your lifestyle, but understand the scope of what it does. Hopefully this just helped you to understand a little bit more. Hopefully that helped to just have you understand a little bit more. And if you're liking these types of episodes, you want to learn more from us, please subscribe to the Optimal Body Podcast wherever you love listening. Pass these episodes along to family or friends that you know can benefit. And don't forget, we start the full body low impact with new exercises, new mobility core, things to really help get you moving and hopefully help you to feel better within your body. We're all going to do it together starting August 1st, which is just happens to be a Monday, which is so perfect. So if you haven't gotten on Jen Health yet, go click jen.health in our show notes, sign up, and we'll see you starting August 1st.